You. You're a good, good From our sins, to heal us from our infirmities, to give us life eternal. We thank you, Father, for the things that you've given us. But Lord, we thank you that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you are God. We just worship you right now. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. Lord, we lift our hands to you today in surrender of ourselves and knowing, Lord, that you are above all. God, we come to you with our hearts heavy at times. We come to you with our needs wide open. And we ask, Father, that you just begin the change and the work in us today. We thank you, Lord, for deliverances. We thank you, Lord, for provisions. We thank you, Father, for healings. And Lord, for sustaining us through the hardships of life. Lord, we just give you praise, for you are God. Let's sing that again. Let's sing that again.
Service,
and we're in a prayerful mood, but we're also taking care of things, getting this to somebody, getting that to somebody, speaking to somebody about this. And so our focus, but always, even when I'm focused on getting things done, I love looking in the hallways and in the pews, because I see y'all gathering, encouraging, speaking life into your family, right? It is wonderful when we have family, but it's also a hardship at times when we have family and our family are going through difficult times. I know Cynthia's family went through a loss this week. Julie's family went through a loss this week. There were others in the past few weeks. Herschel's. There's other people that have been through losses of loved ones. And at Christmas time, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a parade, I remember my mom. It was one of those little things that we always did. My dad was a farmer, and his dad loved ponies. So my dad and his dad would ride pony and cart in the parade, and my mom would pick us up from school. That's when they used to be, right after school. And we would rush to get a front line. We wanted to see the whole thing. And I remember feeling that the drums, they always brought the band at the beginning and the visiting band at the end. Well, the first band is the one you wanted to hear, because you could feel the beats in your heart before it ever got there. Do you know what I mean? You could feel it. It was almost like, as a little kid, that the road was quaking. I know it wasn't. I know it was internal. It was internal. It was the sound of those drums, that bass drum, just making that vibration in my body, in my heart, in my chest. I could feel it. And I was so excited, because right after the band, right after the fire trucks, right after the police, right after the school queen, that was a big thing too. I never got to be one, but came my daddy and my granddaddy in their pony and carts. And sometimes my daddy would stop and he would motion to me, come get in my cart. And mama would say, go ahead. Now my sister, no. She had seen too many accidents to hop on daddy's cart. But me, I was willing to get hit by a few, I don't know, spit bombs, pea shooters. And it would make the pony get real upset to get shot by those pea shooters. And I knew that I had to hold on tight to the seat and to daddy's arm. And I was going to be all right. That is the same today with our Father. Can't you just feel the excitement when we come together? You can just feel his heartbeat in your chest. And he's saying, no matter what, I love you. I love you. And then when it stops and he says, come on. Come on and be by my side. That is worth it all. When we hear that final call, God calls us daily. He calls us daily to show his love to others. He calls us daily to get closer to him. He calls us daily, worship me. But also, he will call us one day for us to go to the other side, to be with him in eternity. And even though, as family members that lose someone that we love, and the sadness of knowing we won't see them day to day. We won't pick up that phone and talk to them day to day. We won't have them at our Christmas celebration this year. But we know if they knew the Father, then we will see them again. And we also know that the Father has us. So at this time, those of you who are grieving, those of you who are lonely, those of you who are struggling with the seasons, and it happens. It happens. One day you're happy and you're buying a Christmas present for your grandchildren and you're trying to set up the Christmas tree, and then you realize, you know what? I'm not with it this year. When we go through moments like that, hold on to Daddy's arm tight. Hold on tight, because he's going to see you through this. He's going to see your family through. He's going to guide you, and he's going to allow you to feel his presence. You call on the name of the Lord. Don't you wait. Don't you wait for him to beckon you. You stand in that crowd and you wave, because God is here and he wants you close. You can do it today and you can do it every day. Don't allow the circumstances of life to overwhelm you. You hold tight to the Lord's arm today. You hold tight to his promises. You read the word. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed hearing the chapters read in Luke. See the miracles that he's done. And even today, our reading today, the disciples praised and worshiped to the point that the Pharisees said, make them stop. Make them stop. No. If they stop, the stones will cry out. No, we're not going to stop. We're going to worship ourselves through every day. We're going to worship ourselves through hardships. We're going to worship ourselves through promotions in our jobs. We're going to worship ourselves through challenges that come our way. We're going to worship ourselves through healings in our physical bodies, in our minds, and our emotions. We're going to worship ourselves through the thick and the thin. But we're going to worship. Thank you, Carpenter's Shop family, for being here, for loving on one another, for encouraging one another. Thank you for connecting. And thank you for staying plugged in to the Father. Amen. At this time, I know it. We don't even want to sit down, do we? At this time, we're going to give our tithes and offerings, which is another way to worship. And so at this time, we will receive our tithes, receive our offerings. Thank you.
worship God with me this morning?
Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, bless your name. Bless your name, bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Grateful for live music in the worship team. Come on, is able to that. Hallelujah. You know, thank God for technology. There's a lot of churches that their worship has to be on the screen, you know, with videos every Sunday. But we have a gifted group of people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, right. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. Come on. Hallelujah. Faith for Where We're Going series, the Lord has allowed me to download in my mind and my spirit for several weeks now. Today's message number 5. I'm not a holiday preacher, so I don't feel like I have to preach, you know, seasonal messages, although I will intertwine it into today's word just because it belongs there. Amen. I mean, every day is Christmas. Come on, every day. Amen. Faith for Where We're Going. Today I titled the message, Good News, Bad News. Good News, Bad News. Let's pray together. Father, help us today. Help us to realize that we are alive and well at a most unusual time on planet Earth. But you have us here, Lord. You have us here now. We're not dead, we're alive. And you could have had us here at any other time, Lord, but you have us here right now. We're in the generation of people that you decided a long time ago would be the inhabitants of the earth during this challenging time. We face challenges on a daily basis. Battles are being fought every day. Battles that this earth faces on a daily basis that involve the decline of faith on the earth, so much so that the Bible says when Jesus comes, he would have a question, will he even find faith on earth? Battles that see a church challenged by the forces of opposition that result in a church that has chosen in many cases to retreat rather than to advance. A church that seems to have responded with fear when they should have been responding in faith. A church that seems to be in danger from falling away from the faith. Help us, God, to renew our faith. Help us to refresh our spirits. Help us to rekindle the fire that is inside of us that we once had for the things of God so that we can be a catalyst, Lord, for this end time revival, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is so desperately needed and that you so earnestly desire. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen and amen. Just yesterday, I got up early in the morning. Well, I get up early every morning. Amen. But I got up early in the morning and turned on the television. And it was news time. Good morning, America. The Today Show. You know, they've got them on every network. Bunch of people sitting around talking about the world. Sitting around a table, New York, start spreading the news. Come on, it's all over town. That's the New York song. Come on, guys, where y'all at? Ba 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 ba. Maybe my online people will get that. I don't know. But I'm watching the good news, the Good Morning America, and the commentator started breaking a story. I'm sitting there now. I've already had a good night's rest, and I'm in my chair, and I'm looking at the news, and this is the first thing that comes out of the mouth of the commentator. America is facing the worst winter it has faced in many years. Wow. Where are you going?
Back to bed, okay?
And the thing of it is they were not referring to winter weather, a snowstorm, but a winter that will see death, they said. President Biden said this earlier in the week. They will see death like we've never seen before in America. We'll see more death than we've seen since the breaking of the pandemic. Man, what an encouragement. They cited that we presently are facing some almost 400 deaths a day in the United States. Can I just tell you something? We had 1,400 deaths a day before the word pandemic was even mentioned. People die all the time. Somebody died right then when I was just speaking. People are dying all the time. But they're ready to wave the pandemic flag in your face all the time. Somebody just turned me off online. Oh, I don't want to hear him talk about that. Well, you should hear what I have to say today. Good news, bad news. Amen? 1,400 deaths a day in the U.S. That's the news. Just tune in every day and let us impart unto your ears fear. Let us infuse you with negativity and report that will rob you of any hope that you would have ever had for a long and productive life. Then yesterday afternoon, I'm on a mission, traveling around, you know, Pastor Joy says, any little last-minute things we need to do? So we go over to Windsor for a reason. And I passed a facility in Windsor, North Carolina. Signs are posted everywhere like it's an election. Free COVID testing. Cars are parked, lines are formed, people are standing there with a terrible look on their face. Getting ready to go in to either hear the word, you got it, or you don't. Are y'all with me here? Some of y'all are looking quiet today. I'm just telling you what life is like on planet Earth right now. Free COVID testing, and they're people that are fearful enough to get in line to see if they're going to get the positive response to the test. Now, let me just give you a disclaimer. I know that there's a virus, okay? I do. I know that there's people that have had it. Matter of fact, I think I had it. But I didn't want to go to the doctor and give him the glory of saying, you're guilty, okay? All I know is I was sick as a dog for about a week, and I just chose to stay home. I didn't take a COVID test, and I wasn't excited to get one in my hands, okay? So I do know that there are people that are getting sick. I do know that there are people that have died, and I do know that this virus has affected many people. But the question for me is this: whose report are you going to believe? Whose message are you going to listen to? That question came up in the Bible one time. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him, Isaiah said, like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised. He was rejected of mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem, but surely he hath took up our pain and bore our suffering. Come on, somebody. He took up our pains and he bore our suffering, yet we had considered him punished by God, stricken by the Lord, and afflicted. But he was pierced, he was bruised, he was wounded for my transgressions, he was crushed for my iniquities, and the punishment that brought me my peace was upon his back, and by his stripes I am healed. Come on. So whose report are you going to believe? Free COVID testing. What do you want to get tested for? If you're sick, you're sick. You don't need somebody to shove a supersized Q-tip on steroids up your nose. Just be sick. And anoint your body with oil every day and say, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. Come on. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Ron Canole used to sing it years ago. Whose report are you going to believe? The media wants this. The government wants this. They want you to get in line, test positive, stay home, quit your job, draw their check, place your destiny in their hands, thus forfeiting the plans that God has for you. All the while, the thundering words of the prophet Jeremiah are ringing in my spirit. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. COVID testing, COVID testing. Whose report are you going to believe? The media and their initiative has already run the church slam home. They've been sitting on the sofa for 2 years. Park and praise, park and praise. No, don't even go out to the church parking lot. Stay home. Pastor, you're rough. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Many who used to be on the front lines of the church and matters of faith, and they're now sitting home. Week after week, they have sacrificed divine connection. Thank you, Pastor Joy. Divine connection in the hallways, high-fiving, hugging necks, shaking hands, connecting with the body of Christ that is fanning the flame of encouragement in your life. Cynthia is in the house of the Lord today. She just lost a loved one. She should have had every reason in the world not to come to church. But she's here. She's here. She's here because she said, you know what, God, if I can just get in your presence, if I can just get in your presence and just let you wash me and bathe me in your divine presence, hang around God's people for about an hour, I'll feel better. Our hearts go out to you, to Julie. Man, what a time to suffer loss here right at the brink of the Christmas holiday. People are sitting home. Well, I'm watching you online, Pastor. Oh, bless your heart. I appreciate that. I'm watching you from home, too, okay? If you get sick, text me, okay? Because I don't want to get near you and breathe on you, okay? Are y'all getting this? Are you getting, Pastor, you're being a little smart this morning. Well, sometimes it calls for smart, okay? I'm just looking at the society and I'm thinking, it's not getting any better. Well, you said it wasn't. No, it's not. It's not getting any better because they want you to feel afraid. They want you to follow their plans. They want you to sit home. They want stores to fail. They want businesses to have to pack up and shut the doors. Why? So you can depend on the government. That's always been a wicked cycle, like a hamster on a wheel. Oh, I know, they'll probably get a flag, get a warning. Stop talking like that. We're going to shut your Facebook account down. Good, I'm going to still keep preaching. You shut the Facebook down, I'll choose another social media platform. Amen. Many used to be on the front lines. I talk to pastors every week of my life, and they're saying, man, my old church is gone, but I got a new one. Praise God, okay? I don't know these people. I said, well, you know, it's happening all over the map, man. Pastors are getting new people to come in the church. They're excited about what God is doing. They're seizing the opportunity. But you see, people that don't tap into what God is doing are sacrificing divine connection and the worship experience on a regular basis. And some of them, oh, it grieves my heart, some of them have even fallen away from the faith. Falling away from the faith, no longer giving of themselves, no longer releasing their resources, no longer sharing their times, their treasures, and their talents. In fact, they've proven the prophetic truth. Here we go. They've proven the prophetic truth of God's word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says this, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered to him. We're all looking forward to that. We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, he's saying, whether by some prophecy or by word of mouth or even by a letter asserting that this day of the Lord has already come. Here we go right here. Check this out. Verse number 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day, here's the prophecy, will not come until, somebody say until. The rebellion occurs. What's the rebellion? Well, I like the King James here. The King James says that there must be a falling away first. A falling away of people who cash in on their faith, of people who turn in their relationship with God because there's too much pressure here. People are gonna, they're gonna shipwreck. People are gonna jump ship. People are not gonna follow through with issues of faith. If they were not, Jesus would have never said that if you put your hands to the plow and then take them off and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom anyway. When the fire gets hot, people bail. In other words, let me give you the Phillips translation. Before the Lord Jesus comes, there must be prevalent on the earth, hear me, there must be prevalent on the earth a spirit that influences mankind to fall away from their faith, to rebel against the truths of God, and to trust in their society that is pegged by the Bible as rebellious and as an antichrist spirit. The Bible teaches this. This is the Bible. It tells you that there will be coming on earth a rebellion period, a rebellious spirit that will be prevalent on the earth before Jesus comes, that is an antichrist spirit. So we're right in line with the prophetic words of Paul to the Thessalonian believers. Faith is tested, faith is challenged, faith is laid down, and in many cases, faith is traded in for fear, fear that results in trust in a government or trust in man rather than trust in God. We live in a society that is characterized by an anti-God perspective. Just yesterday, my friend Roger, hey Roger, Roger came to us by invitation from our drummer, Doug, in a doctor's office visit. Hey Roger, check us out. Carpenter Shop's having revival this week. And Roger and his wife and family have been worshiping with us ever since. Roger sends me a message. I read messages that come to me. And sometimes I even use them, like today. Roger sent me this. Hey, I just read this. We're getting close to the coming of the Lord. Atheists. Somebody say atheist. Atheists are among a growing global group that have no religious affiliation. Remember the day when it was neither Democrat nor Republican, but I'm what? I'm non-affiliated. Do you know that that's transferring into the church today and religious thought? A group of global people all over the world, they're calling themselves nuns. And I'm not talking about the little lady in black and white, okay? I'm not talking about N-U-N. I'm talking about N-O-N-E. Nun. Okay? They're checking on the race card now, not white or Caucasian, black or African American. They're checking the one that says, I'm neither one of these. Not male nor female. Not male, not female. But they got a beautiful word for it. I don't know what it is. I saw it on my granddaughter's first grade school report that she had to fill out this year. What are you? Wow. What a world. What a world. What a world. The nuns, by 2050, Pew Research Center estimates that there are supposedly some 1.3 billion people on the earth larger than the Catholic Church that will be saying, I'm none. A group of non-believers, a group of atheists, a group of agnostics, a group of people that say, I don't want to check any of your boxes. I'm none of that. I just witnessed one on Thursday. I'm working on a preaching calendar for the year. Preaching calendar, what's that? That's when I sit down and I categorize every Sunday of the year before it gets here. I'm preaching this, I'm preaching that. Can you do that? Well, the Episcopalians have been doing it for years. It's called the Book of Common Prayer, okay? And if God can speak to me this week about this week, He can speak to me this week about this week a year from now, okay? So we're working on a sermon calendar. Me and another pastor are doing this together. And we've met several times, and we're scheduled to meet again one or two times before the new year starts, and we were in the coffee shop in Edenton, and a man comes up to us. We're sitting there on the table, laptops open, coffee on the table. And he comes up to us and he says, "What are you doing?" He's about 80 years old, never seen him before. I said, "Well, hey there." I said, "We're sermonizing." Sermonizing, and I'm going to leave his adjectives out. Okay? He said, "What is that?" Okay? I said, "Well, that's preparation for preaching. We're working on the calendar for the new year." Oh, my goodness, I ain't into all that. Boop, boop, blank. What a way to greet two preachers. He's about 80 years old. He's cantankerous. He's just in a bad mood, but he's got really, really strong coffee. He's traveled the world. We sat there and started talking to him. He's witnessed many religions. He's married to a Jewish woman, and he says, "I don't believe." He says, "I'm agnostic." "No," he said very gruffly, "I'm an atheist." In a matter of time, I was able to witness Jesus Christ to him. I was able to read the Bible translation from the New International Version of the Gospel of Matthew. Based on what he was talking about, I chose a passage inspired of the Holy Spirit to read right to where he's talking. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's complaining about something, so I read him Jesus' words about the subject. Ain't that smart? Okay. That's what you should be doing. And in a matter of time, I'm able to witness Christ to him and read the Bible. And he's complaining about, and he gets up, you know. I saw a little sign in a gift shop the other day that said, "I'm proud of myself. I just got up and didn't make any sound effects." Any of y'all there yet? Oh, my goodness, my back. So he was complaining about his health. And I said, "Well, let me pray for you." And I reached out and grabbed his hand. "Oh, don't squeeze my hand too hard. I'm wrapped up with arthritis." I said, "Good. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you touch Francis right now? Lord, would you go through his body? Would you touch him divinely right now? Because we believe that you are our healer, Lord. Would you touch him in Jesus' name? And Lord, would you take the conversation that we had today and would you allow Francis to reflect on that, minister to him. I speak peace over him in Jesus' name." He says, "Wow." I said, "What do you mean?" "Just what I said. Wow." I said, "Okay. We'll see you again sometime, Francis. Have a good day." That was all my assignment was, okay? But I believe I'll see Francis again. And I believe that when Francis lied down on the mattress that night, he had different thoughts in his head than he did the night before, okay? So, because the Holy Spirit will take what I did and shared, and he will have to think about that. Man, he probably is thinking, "Wow, I shouldn't have used all them cuss words to that preacher." Okay, that's fine. That's okay. I mean, I hear cuss words every day of my life. Okay? It's up to him now. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, Where Do We Go From Here, cited that 47% of all millennials describe themselves as, "I'm religiously unaffiliated." And that presently today, only one half of Americans actually go to church. The New Testament is filled with biblical examples of departing from the faith in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 5 reads like this. But mark this. I'd pay attention to that if I were you. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Okay. I like the ones that get to the mirror and go like this. You know, they all kinds of ways. They love themselves. Now I've embarrassed half of the people sitting here this morning. It's all right. They will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I've seen a lot of that. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but by their life they're doing what? Denying that it has any power over them. I go into the building, I sit there, but when I get out, man, I just went to church. I've been cussed out before, and then saw the same person the next day telling someone, "You have a blessed day." I said, "Oh, I had a blessed day yesterday when you cussed me out." Okay. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Look at what he says about this. He says, have nothing to do with such people. Wow. Did you hear what Paul told Timothy? Have nothing to do with such people. He goes on to say in verse number 6 and verse number 7 why he doesn't want you to have anything to do with such people, because they're smooth. They're smooth operators. Come on. You know why they're smooth operators? Because they're the kind who will worm their way into your home, into your life, into your sphere of influence, and they'll gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires. And then he says in verse number 7, the type of people that we're talking about are always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of truth. They're loaded with information, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Man, do we live in a learning society, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. The New Testament not only says this, but it also records in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, that people will also deny Christ in the last days. But every spirit that doesn't acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of what? Of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. And by the way, it's even now in the first century it was present in the world already. The New Testament not only says that people will deny Christ, they will deny that he's coming back. If you don't believe in him, you sure don't believe he's coming back. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4, above all, you must understand, Peter says, that in the last days there'll be scoffers that will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming of the Lord Jesus that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything's gone on as it has since the beginning of creation. Coming again, right? Where is this coming again? Antichrist's age of influence, they deny Christ, they deny that he's coming, and they ultimately they deny faith. Jude, you can call it chapter 1 if you want to, there's not much more than that. Verses 3 and 4. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt compelled to write and to urge you to fight, to contend for the faith that was once also entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have, here we go, secretly slipped in among you. We just read about that, how cunning like a worm they are. They worm their way in. They've slipped in among you. They're ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and our only Lord. These are called grace abusers. You know? They go to church, but their lives have never been changed. They go to church, but so what? They're in the building, but so what? Nothing's ever happened. They've never had a divine encounter with God. I remember several years ago, no names, I don't call names. Several years ago, right here in this city, this will break your heart like it broke mine. There's a well-respected man. If I called his name, everybody in the room's heard of him. Everybody. Well-respected man in the Roanoke-Chowan area. He played an organ for a church. Somebody said to him, man, you did a beautiful job playing the organ. He said, those are beautiful songs. He said, well, they're just notes on a page to me. I don't believe in God. And the man said to him that said this, he said, so you mean to tell me You've been sitting on the seat playing the organ every week all these years of your life, and you don't believe in God? He said, no, I don't believe in God. I just like to play music. He's a grace abuser. Somebody wormed their way into his life and influence and never, I mean, think about it. He sat in the church all these years playing an organ. Held a prestigious position in the Roanoke-Chowan area and never had a born-again experience. Wow. Every time I saw him after that, I thought, man, what a miserable life. Wasn't long after that he died. God have your mercy. Paul said that not only people would deny Christ, deny his coming, deny the faith. He said that there would also be in the last days with this antichrist spirit people that would deny sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 read like this. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. One translation says it like this. They'll turn their ears away from truth and embrace a lie. Come on. That's the characteristic of this day, that they would not believe the truth but turn their ear to something that they can live by better. One young lady several years ago told Pastor Joy in the work world, she said, oh, I can't go to your church. And Pastor Joy said, what do you mean? She said, well, I can't go to your church and still party like I like to. So I'm going to continue going to mine. Thanks for the invitation, okay? In other words, she recognized that there was a standard that was adhered to in this context of ministry that at her church, it doesn't matter. Because you believe what you want to believe. You believe what tickles your ears. Good morning, America. Okay. This is not your average Christmas sermon, is it? We'll get there. Jude 1, verse 18. Listen. People will scoff at the truth and turn toward their ungodly desires. I don't want to hear truth. I don't want to get under that realm. I can go to church here because they got my message, okay? You can live like you want to and still you can still have your name on their roster. That's precisely why social media people in the last days are coming forward now. Look at what they said this week. They eat the internet up this week. TikTok did. They eat it up. You know, they got message. They're trying to fight for their survival here. Well, no. We didn't mean that you go to the schools and create havoc and chaos. Well, how did that get started? TikTok. A failed social media platform under the name of Musical.ly, okay, that came back with a new name, TikTok. Too, it started out real cute. All you do is you follow the lyrics and you make the body motions and then you get your little TikTok video on. But now you got naked women twerking in front of your face, using the B word and the F word and all those other words. And it's right there on your phone, just under Reels. Just pull your Facebook page up. It's right at the top. And as a parent, you better get it off your child's phone. Because TikTok is the number one social media platform that is connected to the most human trafficking of any other social media on the market today. So the guy who made the TikTok video may not really be the one who's talking to you. How old are you? 14. Where do you live? Okay. Are you getting this? TikTok. I don't know how you can have TikTok staring at you every day and look at those videos. I complained about it. I was like, man, what is this? I don't want this on my phone. So I had to get smart. All you got to do is say, hey, Siri, how do you remove TikTok from Facebook page? Quite simple. Step one, two, and three. It's gone. You can get it off your phone. Why haven't you? Because you like looking at them. You like somebody to stick their bottom in your face and shake it back and forth. Thank God I got clothes on. Come on. Come on, I had to get you to lighten up. Some of y'all are so quiet. That wasn't in the notes, but hey. Crazy world. Get off your phones. Stop laughing at sin. Jake, look at this. Look at this. Stop laughing at sin, because Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9 says only a fool will laugh at sin. Only a fool will laugh at sin. You know what you're doing? You're young people that are watching, that you're just looking at TikTok videos. Ain't got nothing to do, man. I'm just, what are you doing? Just watching TikTok videos. That's all you got to do? How about clean up your room? How about wash a couple of loads of clothes for your working mom who's still pulling 50, 60 hours a week so y'all can have a better life? Watching TikTok videos is dangerous. Okay? If I were you, and maybe I'll post on how to remove it. If I were you, I would remove TikTok from my Facebook page so that it cannot scroll across the top of your feed. They got it right in the spot that as soon as you open your Facebook up, it starts loading them up. And if you listen to one, you got to take your thumb and swipe up, because there's another and another and another and another. And next thing you know, you've already viewed 55, 60, 70, 75 twerkers. Okay? Putting it in your face, using all the right words to all the wrong songs. How do you know this, Pastor? Because I seen it with my own eyes. And it disgusted me. And it disgusted me enough to tell you about it. Come on now. But that's characteristic of the world in which we live in. So this nation today is influenced, motivated. In America, we're influenced and led by people who deny faith, deny sound doctrine, deny Christ's return, deny Christ himself, and want you only to fear life, to fear COVID, to fear functioning at a normal capacity on this earth. They just want you to sit home. And if all you're doing is sitting home, all you got time to do is watch TikTok videos. You know? Went into a restaurant in Elizabeth City the other night, because we're in the gift card mode, okay? We're using gift cards that were given to us. Matter of fact, we ate at a Lone Star Steakhouse this week from a Christmas present from last year. I got a whole stack of gift cards, and in just a few days, I'm going to get another stack. Right? I mean, that's what y'all got planned, right? Okay. Some of you will see me in the hallway. Hey, Pastor, I need to give you this before you get home. I go, cha-ching. Woo! I'm going to be eating for a year here on gift cards. And it's a wonderful thing. We love you for it. Amen? So we went into a restaurant using an IHOP card from Pastor's Appreciation Day. And we walked into the restaurant, and Pastor Joy said, are they open? We looked at the whole restaurant. Nobody's in there. I said, yeah, the sign says they're open. The lady says, oh, yeah, we're open, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the only one working. There's a cook in the kitchen. He's the only one cooking. It's me and it's him. So if you want to eat, you might have to wait. I said, well, right now, there's nobody in here. What is 18-year-old cook's never really been cooking that much before. But I'm just telling you, but if you want to stay, she gave me every reason to leave. But I had one thing on my mind. Breakfast sampler, stack of pancakes. Free. Okay? And I sat down and we had a wonderful meal. Everything was absolutely wonderful. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is absolutely crazy. This restaurant was thriving a year ago. You had to stand there. How much wait? About 40 minutes. 40-minute wait at a pancake shop? IHOP, Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Nobody there. I said, "What, ma'am, let me just ask you a question, if you don't mind. What happened that you are the only one here and you got a brand new 18-year-old cook that just got assigned to the job a couple of days ago? What happened?" She said, "Five people quit in one day." You know why they quit? They watched the news. You know what the news said? The news said the mandates for masks are coming and the mandates and this and that. And next thing you know, for 100 employees or more in your company. And so they go, "Oh, you hear that, man?" They're going to go home now, fill out the unemployment papers. In just a couple of days, couple of weeks, you'll be able to make more sitting on your duff at home. Thank you, U.S. government, for doing this. Isn't that a shame? When the Bible says, what does the Bible say? The Bible says if a man don't work, he should not eat. That's what the Bible says. So whose report are you going to believe? Are we in better shape because of what system we're under today? Are we in far better shape? No, we're not. We're in the worst shape I've seen this country in a long time. Well, I wish he hadn't have said that. Well, I'll say it again. We're in the worst shape that I've seen this country in a long time. Worst shape. And the way we're going, it's not going to get any better. Because we're giving permission for people to be lazy and go home and make money. And so the people who have a little jingle in their pocket can't even go to a restaurant and use their gift card. Okay. Maybe you better not give me a gift card this year. Bad idea. Okay. That's bad news. All this I'm telling you this morning, bad news. I believe what? The good news. What is the good news? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, according to the Gospel of Luke. Verse number 2, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register, and Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel shouted this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. There will be great joy for all people today. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host. Can you imagine the whole choir of heaven shows up? Come on, come on, come on. What, who? The whole choir of heaven shows up and they begin to say, "Glory to God in the highest and on heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can I just tell you something? You're the people of God. It is on you that his favor rests. It is on your life that his favor rests. COVID-19 testing. You don't have to worry about these things. Why? Because his favor rests upon your life. His favor rests upon your life. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, peace, peace to those on whom his favor rests. He is your peace. He is your hope. And your faith must rest in him, even in the midst of challenging times. Even in the midst of a pandemic, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is the good news that does what? It negates the bad news. This is the good news that does what? It destroys the bad news. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He was in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came to live. He came to die. He died so that you and I could live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living. Why? Just because he lives. Come on. He lives today. It's worth the living. Why? Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Hallelujah. Life is worth living. Man, we've got a government and a people that are just socking it to you, trying to scare you to death. And it's hard for the preacher to come see you once a week and try to shout another message. When every time you turn the hell box on, all you're getting is a negative message. I'm done with CNN. I'm done with Fox. I don't listen to those rascals anymore. Once you turn the news on, they will pour water on your spiritual parade and try to squelch the faith that is inside of you. I'm going to be in trouble. No, I'm not. I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of them at all. Because you know what? They didn't call me, okay? They didn't call me at all. And one thing I'm going to do is stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account of every word that ever came out of my mouth. And I want to speak the truth. And the truth is, the only government you can trust is the government upon his shoulders. That's it, okay? The government shall rest upon his shoulders. He is the Prince of Peace, and it's him that I trust. And, you know, as God has it, I started out my message this way. I know where I left my horse. I started out my message this way. It's you and I that are alive at this point in time. That was my prayer today. God, it's you that have us on this earth at this particular time. Okay? I could have been dead 10 years ago, but I'm not. I'm alive and well in 2021, and that's when God wanted me to be here. Okay? And I don't know what. You know, I've been preaching the messages, faith for where we're going. There's a lot I know about where we're going, but can I just be gut level honest with you? There's a lot I don't know about where we're going. Okay? But I do know this, I know who I can trust, and it's God Almighty. Come on, give him praise today. Let's stand together, could you? Let's stand together. Just stand together in his house all over the building. Those of you that are watching online, listen, if you're making a commitment to Christ today, just hit it in the comment section. Just put, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. We'll reach out to you. We'll connect with you by way of instant message. We want to stay connected with you. Thank you for watching all over the world today. Thank you for cluing in on this particular broadcast today, right here, Sunday before Christmas. If you're here this morning, just all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, let me have some prayer people to join me here at the front. Pastors, elders, leaders, come on. Just come on and join me here at the front. If you're here today And you say, Pastor, I'm rocked by your message today. I want to make sure that I'm connected. I want to make sure that I'm ready to go. I want to make sure that everything's in order. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make sure I'm right with Christ. Come on, just raise your hand right quickly, right where you are. Let me see it until I acknowledge it. God bless you. God bless you right here. I just want to make sure hands are raising. Anybody else? Got a couple of people. God bless you. I just want to make sure I'm right. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to sign up for some level of commitment or something. I'm just asking you, are you sure that your heart is aligned with the things of God today? If you're not, please raise your hand right now. Anyone at all? God bless you. God bless you. Those of you that lifted your hands, just please come out. Step out of your seat. Come on, step out of your seat and just come and let one of these precious men or women pray for you today. Come on, step out of your seat. You raised your hand. Come on. Come on. You raised your hand. Just come step out. There you go. There you go. It's a great step. It's a step that once you take that step, you'll feel the weight of this earth lift off your shoulders. Amen.
Amen.
You'll feel the weight lift off your shoulders. Amen. Our world's in a mess. Our world is in a mess. There's a lady coming down the aisle. You know what, sister? God's not only going to touch your spirit today, he's going to touch your body. Amen. He's going to touch your body. You just take your time. Come on down. God's going to touch your body. Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe he's a healer today? Amen. God wants to heal you today. Come right on. You just have a seat right there. Our brother's going to come right here and minister to you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to wait because I believe there's some more people that need to be standing up here. I'm just going to wait a second. You know who you are. You got a sign hanging around your neck right now, but I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? You're not happy with where you are right now. You're a little concerned. Come on, just step out of your seat. Step out of your seat. We're here to bless you today. We're here to encourage you today. You're not going to get anything out of this service except encouragement. Not here to frighten you. Here to just impart faith to you. Faith, listen, if you had trouble living in 21, 22 is going to shock you, okay? I'm telling you, 22 is going to shock you. So just step out of your seat and prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Hallelujah. There you go. Just if you had trouble in 21, step on out of your seat. Praise God. God's going to help you. 22 is going to be a great year. If you need a touch in your body today, you're struggling in sickness, come on, we pray for the sick on Sunday. Pray for the sick. It's God's will that you be well. Let us pray for you if you're sick today. Hallelujah.
Just what we need before we say a word. Your good, good Father.
That's
who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Seat, someone will pray with you in the other's behalf. People that you'd like to see saved. People that are not living for God, that you'd love to see living for God. Just step out in someone's behalf.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let them pray for you. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Still as you call.
Father, we come before you today, thanking you for your presence, Lord. Thanking you for your people. We speak blessing over them today. God, as some will travel during the holidays, Lord, would you dispatch angels to guard them in all of their ways? Those that are standing here today, God, that are undergoing treatments for their health and their healing, Father, I pray that you would give them the patience, the fortitude to press forward. God, sometimes we recognize that healing is in the medical world. The Bible clearly says that Paul had someone traveling with him on journeys named Luke. He was a physician. And so, Lord, we acknowledge those things today, and we ask you, God, to use every factor available to bring healing to people in Jesus' name. Thank you for God when you do it supernaturally. It's an awesome thing. And God, thank you also for when you utilize those, God, whose lives have been committed to medicine, those lives committed to the healing of people. And God, we thank you for all of those means. I pray for those this year, Lord, that are struggling emotionally. As Pastor Joy said earlier, sometimes folk are grieving. Sometimes people face the holidays and there's not much jingle and there's little joy. But God, I pray that you would bring joy. You would bring peace in Jesus' mighty name. I bless our church. I bless its influence. God, thank you for the giving, the people that have given to missions, given of tithes and offerings. Father, I pray that you'd bless them in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves as you go today. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. No Bible study this Wednesday night. There will be no Bible study this Wednesday night. God bless you. Our youth will be meeting. Thank you for the baskets too in the hallway. God bless you for that. Have a great day.